Turn in your Bibles tonight with me in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23. 2 Samuel, chapter 23. I'd like to read a few verses tonight, and then I'd like to share a few things with you tonight about what it takes to be mighty in God's sight. What it takes to be mighty in God's sight. Would you look with me for a moment now at verse 8 in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and follow along as I read from the Word of God. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah the son of Agi the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. In this passage, there are 30 mighty men that are mentioned. And there are many deeds that are mentioned. And I want you to know tonight that God, I believe, in this passage, has narrowed down and made very clear to us exactly what He considers to be mighty in His sight. And I submit to you tonight that no matter what the size of your church or what the size of your mission or where your mission is in life for God, that you can, by the grace and power of the Lord, be mighty in His sight. And I want to challenge you tonight to look with me in this passage, if you will, in a moment, and ask the Lord about your stead tonight. About your work tonight, about your vision tonight, about your direction tonight, and hopefully we'll discover with the help of God the Holy Spirit tonight exactly what God considers to be mighty in His sight. Now would you bow your head with me for a moment and let's seek the Lord in this matter. Heavenly Father, thank You tonight for a chance to be together in this place. Lord, I'm humbled tonight to think of the hand of God that has used such as we to work in Your service. Thank You, Lord, for obedient servants. But Lord, it is our desire tonight that we not sit back now in the 25th year of this ministry and allow ourselves to rest on the laurels of that which has passed and say that we have done well and therefore we now can coast into glory on the basis of what we have accomplished through Your power. But Lord, rather that we might be challenged tonight to see the true meaning of the ongoing need for us to seek the Lord and walk with God and be all that we can be, that we might get the well done from God in heaven one day, but moreover on this earth, that we might be counted mighty in Thy sight. It matters not that men would think that we are mighty or great or powerful or important, but it matters greatly in our hearts tonight that You, dear God, would consider us to be of worth to You in some way. And so we ask You tonight to teach us. Holy Ghost of God, You are the teacher. I am only the preacher, the mouthpiece. I am not the Lord. And so I ask you to start with my heart tonight. Renew again and afresh the Word of God to me. Illuminate your Word and show us, dear God, tonight what it takes to be mighty in thy sight. And we'll thank you, Lord, and exalt your name before the people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. David was a tremendous leader. And David had the hand of God upon him, even though that sometimes David may have done something that God did not care for. He still was a man after God's own heart. And you and I tonight are like that, aren't we? We are men and women of God who fail the Lord sometimes. But if we keep our direction, our face set toward the Lord, if we're willing to seek the shed blood of Christ and be renewed and forgiven, and we'll go on and seek the Lord, God will use us. But I believe tonight that God wants to do with some of us who are willing to let ourselves be used of God, He wants to do a mighty thing. What you see here tonight and what you have enjoyed for years is a result of obedient Christianity, not perfect Christians. It's a result of men and women, starting with the man of God and his family and others who were founders of this ministry, who stood in times when others said, it can't be done, there's no way. They stood and were used of God. Many of you here tonight are either descendants of those folks or friends of those folks, or you yourself were one of those people. And God did a mighty work. Not everyone has what this particular ministry offers on this ground. Many have fought, many have been used, and many have very valiantly served, and yet God has not raised up what He has raised up on this ground. And I submit to you that someone here tonight, perhaps many here tonight, as a result and an extension of the Lord's work in this ministry, by what you have seen and by the example you have been shown, have been chosen by God not to be pompous and prideful and high and lifted up, but to be humble servants who will be mightily used for God, who will be mighty in the sight of God. And I submit to you tonight that in the Word of God, there is a clear challenge tonight in the essence of what God considers mighty. Would you look with me at these mighty men? Because all of the mighty men, although mentioned in the Scripture, were not singled out for individual attention. Three of them were singled out. I'd like you to look at those three, but I'd like you to keep your mind on how God would use you tonight. In verse 8, we find the first of the three. It says, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat at the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Eznite. Now notice what he did. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. You could not be a part of this ministry or many ministries across America that are being used for God and not understand that it takes men and women who will stand against the odds if God is going to mightily use them. And this particular one that is chosen and singled out, this particular one lift up his spear against 800 who he slew at one time. Now, you and I both know that you can't lift up your spear against 800 without the power of Almighty God and survive. And I submit to you, the odds have been overwhelming against Fairhaven Baptist Church. They've been overwhelming against this college. And yet those who will be willing to trust God and stand against the odds that are innumerable odds have been used of God in a mighty way. And what you see here today is nothing more than the extension of the power of God through obedient servants. And you and I have the same God and the same will. And we can yield it and should yield it that our God might prove Himself strong in our lives. And a mighty work can arise in your life wherever you may be, whatever you may do. But you know what, brothers and sisters? For all that He did, I really don't believe that this is what made him mighty. We have another example. It said after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite. Boy, talk about odds. How would you like to be starting off your life's experience the son of a Dodo? I do believe that's why my son learned to stand. He was raised the son of a Dodo. He had those odds against him. One of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. Now notice what he did. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to spoil. Boy, talk about finishing the job. Amen. Did you ever get weary? Can I share something with you? Your pastors get weary. Just recently, Pastor Behrens has had some physical problems. You know what that's from? It's from pedal to metal for God. That's what that's from. People get weary. And there's many of you tonight, and I don't know your names, but I know that you're in this church, and I know you're here tonight, and that tells me something about you. That tells me that on your job and in your home and the children you're raising and the work that you're doing and all of this candy sale that the pastor talked about here tonight. There are times when we get weary. And the Bible says that this one, when his hand was weary, when that which he would do for God and stand for God and serve the king, his hand got weary. But the Bible says his hand clave unto the sword. Brothers and sisters, there's times when there is no answer except this. Your friends will say, why, that's hogwash, it won't work. The people that you work with in your company, the other friends and neighbors around you who are Christians, and many of them in this church and in this college will say, yes, I know that Pastor Vogelin preaches that. Yes, I know that Pastor DeLong preaches that. I know that Pastor Behrens preaches that. I know that Mr. McNeely preaches that. Yes, I'm aware of Brother Dameron preaching that. And I'm aware of Brother Jeff preaching that. And I know that they're preaching that. But listen, it's really not that way. And the influence of evil, and the influence to quit, and the influence to water down, and the influence to go halfway, and the influence to be lukewarm is ever before you. And you'll want to say, hey, there's a lot of Christians walking around out there, independent fundamental Baptists, even Christians walking out there. They don't live the way the preacher preaches and don't stand where the book stands. And your kids will look at you if you didn't raise them by the Bible and say, Mom and Dad, why do we have to be so tough? Why are we so strict? Why do these standards have to be upheld in our church? And sometimes the only thing you can do is clave to the sword. Amen. Thus saith the word. I don't understand it all. I don't know why it's okay for them. I don't believe it is okay for them. But God's word says it. And in the darkness of the hour of temptation, God's word is the only way that our Lord made a way to escape. Amen. It's the word. God, when he made a way to escape, did not say escape to the world. He said escape to the word. But you know, even though that he did this, and the Bible says the Lord wrought a great victory, and remember, that is the Lord. The battle is the Lord's. The Lord wrought a great victory, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Did you ever have a day like that? Big day on the buses. You're out there for hours and hours on end. Boy, I'll tell you what, and the church crowd, and they're always there. I don't care what size church it is. It's a percentage. And the church crowd will come in, and I mean to tell you, there's been a great sacrifice on Saturday. There's been hours of prayer. There's been hours of shoe leather worn out and doors knocked and people praying and weeping and getting a hold of God for something great to happen this Sunday and souls to get saved and families to come and kids to get baptized and come alive and be in the church and serve the Lord. And there are those that will come and all they'll do is come and take the spoil. They'll come and sit. They'll suck up the air conditioning. Breathe out the hot air and say, boy, sure is great to be at Fairhaven. Can I share something with you? The fact that you did all of that, God so very much wants you to know tonight that he's pleased with you for that work. But that work does not in and of itself make you mighty in his sight. There was the third. And after him in verse 11 it said was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Every New Year's Eve, in our family, we take some Polish kibasi, that's what we called it, put it in the crock pot along with some little brownish, blackish, greenish beans called lentils. We don't eat them any other time of the year, but we have them on that night. And I read that and I said, I know what lentils are. And I truly don't believe, I believe it had to be of God for me to stand against the Philistines for a lentil. But can I share something with you? It wasn't the lentils. It was the ground. Years ago, in the war with Japan, there was a little island. We've got some Marines here, and they'll know when I say this. There was a little island called Iwo Jima. That island had absolutely no value. I believe they mined a little bauxite on it, but that's about all that it was. But do you know what? The reason why that we have that picture of those Marines who went up and put that flag up on Mount Suribachi is because two major forces desired that ground. They had designs on that ground. They had a purpose strategically for that ground. And that made that ground very significant. Can I tell you tonight, your life is that ground. The forces of hell and the forces of glory desire you. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the devil wants to ruin your testimony if you're saved tonight. He wants to ruin your family. He wants to take away the ministry that you have. He wants to destroy the testimony of the Fairhaven Baptist Church. He wants to ruin the college. Why? Because it is significant ground. Because there's nobody else standing. Who is going to get the baton that will be passed? Who will receive the mantle that will fall as those who stood for Christ pass from the scene? Where are the great churches? Where are the good preachers? Where are the faithful church members? Where are the schools that stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God uncompromisingly? Where are they? They're passing from the scene. This is significant ground. You are significant ground. Church member, your family is significant ground. Those children need to be raised up a generation for God, not a generation that has forgotten the Lord. It is significant ground. But the fact that you would stand and fight in and of itself does not make you mighty in God's sight. I looked at this and I said, then surely there must be a reason why these three men were singled out and made mighty if it was not those. And God said, yes, there is a little story yet to read. I direct your attention to it in verse 13. Right in the middle of all of this, and right after the chronology of all the 30 mighty men, and then these three that were high and lifted up above for the things that they did, and all of a sudden there's a little story, kind of an anecdotal note, in which David, through the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, lived this out, and the prophet Samuel is caused by the Holy Spirit of God to write this down and says, here is what I want you to see. And look at what it says. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was with them in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was David's birthplace. I'm sure many memories there of his childhood. I'm sure he would like to have fled for a moment in his mind and heart to his childhood to escape the responsibilities of being in a hold and garrison, literally being encamped against and imprisoned, if you will, by the Philistines. In verse 15, it said, David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." The Bible didn't say they had a Baptist committee. The Bible didn't say they took a secret ballot. The Bible simply records with no discussion about what caused their movement. It simply said the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. David showed the significance of that act because he wouldn't drink it. He poured it out before the Lord. And in verse 17, he expounded upon it, saying, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. I submit to you tonight from the Word of God that God is saying to us that to be mighty in His sight is not, although it is a wonderful and great thing to stand against the odds, that is not the measure of greatness. Although it is a noble thing to fight on when weary, that is not the measure of might in the sight of God. And although to stand firm in what seems to the world to be insignificant ground, but is mightily significant to God, that alone in and of itself is wonderful and fabulous and God would be pleased, but it is not the measure of might in His sight. I submit to you tonight that to be mighty in the sight of God, that you must be willing to lay down your life for the longings of the heart of your king. David was their king, and they thought nothing of their lives. They simply laid it down for what seemed to be insignificant, but it was a longing of the heart of their king. Nearly 2,000 years ago, chronologically, Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary for our sins. He was buried and rose again. And the great commission was given to us. He, our King, we, His servants. And there is a longing in His heart. And the longing is that we might take the blessed Word of God and the gospel to the world. Everything we do, if it is not to that end, it is for naught. All that we say and dedicate ourselves to may be good in and of itself for the moment, but God still has a longing on His heart. Bus worker, when you go, you're not just simply meeting the schedule of your bus captain. You're not simply pleasing the wishes of the preacher. You're fulfilling the longing of the heart of your King. Soul winner, you do the same. Those that perform the music for the sake of the Lord's work, and those who serve in the church, and all who give and walk with God, and those who stand in their homes and raise their children by the Bible and stand and do all of that, what you are really doing is worth nothing if in your heart the purpose of your doing it is to fulfill the longing of the heart of your King. You see, the intent of the heart does count. Man looketh on the outside, but God sees and knows, and the Word of God reveals the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Romans 12:1 tells us, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." I ask you tonight, are you willing to lay down your life for the longings of the heart of our King? It matters not what you're able to accomplish unless you do. All that has been done in all these years in this place would be for naught if someone came out of Fairhaven Baptist College and wanted to go out simply to see what they could accomplish in the ministry and missed the idea that they were working to fulfill the longing of the heart of their King. All that you do in this church would be for nothing if in doing it you do not have that focus. serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight what your heart is. I wonder if your heart burns as Jesus' heart burned when God sent him all those years ago, that baby in the manger that would end up on the cross of Calvary for our sin. I wonder if that God that so loved the world, if that heart burns in you tonight, and the longings of the King are felt in your heart tonight. That is the measure of those who are mighty. You see, it was not that they did those things that made them mighty. It was that they desired to fulfill the longings of the heart of their King, that they had the power and grace to do those things. And if you will seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, if you will lay down your life and all that is in it for the Lord Jesus, if you will understand what Jesus meant when He said that we're not worthy of Him unless we're willing to let go of everything we have and take up our cross and follow Him, if we do not understand that tonight, that it is still, regardless of the affluence of our nation, regardless of the success of our ministry, it is still the sacrifice and the laying down of our very lives for God that will allow us to be mightily used of God and count us to be mighty in His sight. Unless we have that vision tonight, brothers and sisters, we labor for nothing. Would you bow your head tonight, please? With heads bowed and eyes closed. In just a moment, I'm going to turn the invitation over to your pastor. But I wonder tonight if I might ask you a simple question. As you examine your heart tonight, can you honestly say tonight, it is the desire of my heart to fulfill the longings of the heart of my King? If you can say with all honesty before God tonight, that is my desire, would you as a testimony and a claim to that accord, lift your hand right now. It is my desire to fulfill the longings of the heart of my King. Thank you. You may put them down. Are there others? And one other question tonight. I wonder tonight if maybe there isn't someone here that would say, preacher, seriously, as God looks upon my heart this moment, as the Holy Spirit walks ever so quietly among the cords of my emotions and mind, I absolutely believe tonight that I have failed the Lord in this area. And starting tonight, starting now, I pledge by the grace of God my efforts, my allegiance, my commitment to seek and fulfill the desires of the heart of my King Jesus. Starting tonight, preacher, things are going to change. Would you lift your hand? Thank God. Amen. Boy, how God honors that. God wants that turning in your heart tonight. Are there others that would say, starting tonight, preacher? Yes, amen. I see your hands. Are there others? Starting tonight, preacher, my focus will be upon the heart of my King. Would you pray for me, please, as I do that? Are there others? Lift it. Yes, amen. I see your hand in the back. Yes, amen. Yes, sir, I see it. Are there any others?